Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla-Thompson.
And my name is Adam Labas. Thanks for joining us for episode 64 and a very special episode 64. It is the anecdote special. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And even way back in term two, we were going to do it and then we took a bit of time off. And we're pretty pumped for this one tonight.
Pumped for this episode, Adam. It's going to be a slightly different episode, maybe slightly longer. But we've got some special guests, some special features. I'm really excited about tonight's episode.
It's a really good time to do it, middle of the term, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like almost a hump podcast in a way where you've got those ones. It's something a little bit different just to keep things fresh, isn't it?
It is. Look, it sure is. And I know that before we sort of get into things, you wanted to mention that rather large event that's happening in the world at this very moment, Adam.
Yeah, and that event is obviously Melbourne beating Hawthorn last weekend. we won't go on about that. But no, we do want to talk about the Olympics. Yeah, and the Olympics provide, you know, such a huge way of incorporating literacy and numeracy and things in. And if I have to ask you about the Olympics, what's your favourite event of the Olympics?
It's a good question, Adam. I kind of like having, I mean, I'm actually not into it that much personally anymore, but I do like putting it on in the background. And the things, surprisingly enough, it's the gymnastics and some of the athletics events. Yeah, because to me they're unusual. And the only other time I see some of those types of events really at the Olympics. And in terms of athletics, it's just like when you do it at school. So I kind of like seeing those feats of strength.
I can agree with that. Look, I must say I'm partial to the diving. I always love the 10-meter platform, and that's particularly early in the piece where you've got all of the countries that are there competing, and there's stuff ups and, you know, people belly flopping and doing that sort of stuff. And but anyway, mate, look, the Olympics are on, but it is a big episode for us tonight as well.
Big episode. And before we get into it, Adam, I mean, we're obviously planning on, you know, having a few lighthearted moments tonight and a few laughs. But I just wanted to talk about the importance. I'm going to get a little bit philosophical here. I want to talk about the importance of humour in hindsight when reflecting on our job, because I think that's what a lot of the anecdotes are, Adam. And we've had a lot of listeners, haven't we, over the period of time that we've been doing this podcast, mentioned to us that the anecdote segment is one of their favourites.
Yes,
yep. They look forward to it. And I guess I wanted to just analyse the anecdote briefly, and you know, try and work out why it resonates. And I think that hindsight is good. Is important because we have moments in the job, and a lot of our anecdotes have come from either stressful moments, high adrenaline moments, haven't they?
Challenging moments.
Yeah. And looking back and being able to have a laugh and say, wow, that was just crazy. I think that's where a lot of our anecdotes come from. And that's not just with students, that's with staff as well. And would you agree? I think that's where it comes from.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things teachers need these days is the opportunity to look back and smile and look back at some of those things and look at them as, you know, that was a learning opportunity, or that was an experience that I was able to improve on. You can look back and actually laugh at some of those things. You've got to look back and take that lighthearted view. Otherwise, the job can be overwhelming and can actually get to you. You've got to have those moments.
Yeah, and you do have those moments where you probably don't want to laugh about things in hindsight, but I think that is the key. And I think maybe that shows why a lot of our teacher listeners enjoy the anecdote, is because we're all got that in common somehow. It's that similarity of being able to look back and go, you know, I gave it my all and I mucked up here, and it was, in hindsight, it's funny.
I think I always picture our listeners in the anecdote smiling and nodding their head. You know, you bring up something like that and they're nodding their head and going, that exact thing has happened to me, or they've seen it happen to somebody else. That's kind of what we try and aim to do. That's our real opportunity to connect with our listeners and to have them really nodding their head going, yep, that camp or that time in the staff room, that exact thing has happened to me, and an opportunity for them to reflect, but also in a lighthearted way as well.
Absolutely. So every segment tonight, every topic is an anecdote topic. We've had some submitted by some listeners, and they are our special guests tonight, Adam. So without further ado, this is pretty exciting. Yeah. I know you're going to kick us off shortly, so let's get into our anecdote episode.
So our first anecdote for the evening, Rick, is one that we've come up with together that we wanted to talk about, and it's about getting into trouble at school. And we wanted to kind of reflect back to our own time in primary school and high school and look at the times that maybe we got ourselves into trouble. Because even today, you know, we look at our kids today and some of the weird and wonderful ways that they get themselves into trouble. And I know I had a student today who, one of the other kids was being a bit too much hands-on in the line at lunchtime, and he cracked the SADS, had enough of that, turned around and dacked him. Dacked the other kid, just pulled his pants down, in retaliation,
I
and
be laughing
kind of you can't laugh. But when you find out what's going on, like, I pulled that kid aside, and he was looking pretty upset. But I found out that he just goes such and such, you know, had his hands on and that sort of stuff, and I'd had enough. And you kind of get that other kid and go, you know what, I can understand why, because of course that kid who did the dacking gets dobbed in. The kid's like, he dacked him, he pulled his pants down, and all that, you know, all that sort of stuff.
So the dacking was the retaliation.
The dacking was the retaliation. So normally, and that's funny to me.
It is, because normally it's a push or a punch, particularly with boys, but he's actually calculatedly dacked him.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, it's exactly
right. Floored him, so to speak.
Floored him and made him sort of bend over and pull the dungarees up, so to speak. But it was a really good thing today for me, because this is something that, a topic that I've brought up before, and I want us to reflect tonight. I don't want us to not just focus on our classroom, but getting into trouble at school, because I feel like in my time in primary school, I got into trouble in a myriad of ways, and maybe that I became a teacher to give back. You know, I felt I had a lot to give back. I felt guilty almost.
Well, when you asked me about this off air or during the week, during our planning, I started thinking that this might be one of those topics that really shows the difference between A. LaVars and R. Caleb Thompson. Because, Adam, I started thinking, all I could think of at primary school was a moment when I got hauled into the principal's office, and it was a group. There was a group of boys who'd been in strife doing something, and I had nothing, like literally had nothing to do with it. And it was one of those moments where you're sitting in front of the principal. Mm. I think it hardly ever happened to me, and I didn't know what I was in there for. I still don't even remember what that was for, but I didn't get in trouble in the end. But the fact that I was in the office, I thought, how has it come to this? I've had nothing to do with this. That's all I could think of. So then it moved to high school, Adam. The only two moments that really stand out is I got a detention once for, you used to be able to get a lunch pass at school. So then the lunch pass would give you permission to go back home for lunch or to a family member's house. And I was caught buying hot chips at the local milk bar for lunch. I got a detention for that from the science teacher.
What's wrong with that?
Well, because I wasn't at some, you know, my parents' house, something like that. I reckon the science teacher had it in for me. I always remember it was
probably watching
teacher.
You over the fence. I'm going to get this RKT. I'm going to get him here.
Now, it's not that funny, is it? And the only other one I could think of, Adam, was you remember in high school, sometimes you used to be able to enter the classroom before the teacher arrived for your class?
Yes.
I know we were.
Yep.
And there was one day, and I may have told this before on the podcast, just trying to be funny and get a laugh from my classmates, which this was out of character for me. There was a slushy banana sitting on the desk that someone had left, obviously, after eating. Pretty disgusting. And I picked it up, and just to try to be funny, I just hurled it at the blackboard. It was the blackboard. Yeah. And it just slammed into the blackboard and just slowly smeared and fell down to the bottom. And anyway, and I thought, well, no one's going to know that's me. The teacher won't know. When the teacher arrived, I got ratted out by one of my classmates. And I got in big trouble for that.
So how did that happen? Did the teacher come in and go, right, who did that?
Yeah.
And this classmate put their hand up and said, Rikayla Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not on.
Again, it's many years ago. I can't quite remember. But look, mate, I mean, to be honest, they aren't. They're the best I can come up with. Now, I know that pretty quickly you were able to put this game to bed and win with your story.
Well, I've got a few, but I think pain and immature would have summed up my time, particularly in primary school. I know that was always a word on my reporting. It talks too much. And I can still remember, I think I might have talked about this one on air, but my big one in primary school was a mate of mine and I, when the teacher would leave the classroom, and this is back then where a teacher would, the office was in another area, and they would leave the classroom and do other things. We'd be up the back doing farts under the arm and thinking it's hilarious. And one day the teacher came back and caught us. And boy, did he absolutely let go, to the point where he had us out of the classroom sitting on some stairs, absolutely brilliant, spittle flying out of the mouth and doing that stuff, and threatened to call my parents. Now, I was pretty scared of my old man that I'd be in trouble. I cried. I was sitting down on the back stairs having a tea. I think I had told that one before.
This calling of the parents seems to be big in your life. Like the calling of the parents seemed to be your breaking point, which it is for a lot of students.
I was scared. It was more that I was disappointed in myself, that I would have disappointed my parents. I never wanted, particularly my dad. I didn't want to disappoint him, and he would have been, even though he was worse than me. But the big one for me getting into trouble at school is year nine computers. Now,
well, the year nine students. I mean, come on.
We
were all pretty nasty in that year.
We were pretty nasty. I mean, you know, I used to climb up onto the roof and go and get things off the roof. And
you're unbelievable. Anyway,
getting
go
in
on.
Trouble from Mr. Butler for it and all that sort of stuff. Anyway. So this one, there was a slight. This is back in the early days of things like the internet and an intranet at school. I mean, this is, I'm talking 1997, 1998. Here, I think it's 97. And there was a slightly rude picture that someone had somehow brought along and put onto the computers. Now, there was like a folder trail. You know how there'd be folders and you had to keep double-clicking folders and all the way through to get to this picture. Now, you know, it was kind of like these Chinese whispers of this slightly rude picture, and there it was. And I found out about it and knew where it was. So this day in computers,
Is the word slightly important here? Slightly rude?
It is important. It's slightly rude. It's not... Look, the listeners can make up their own mind.
But
I'm being polite. But anyway... So the teacher's gone off the other side of the room, and it was one of these old desktop computers. And I've gone, hey, mate, hey, come here and have a look. There's a couple of mates, and they sit there, and I've gone through all the folders, which took, you know, a minute, and got it up, and there it was, and we're all having a bit of a giggle and that sort of stuff. This, I am not embellishing this story. As the teacher went to come back around, and I went to get out of it and press that red cross, the screen froze.
The old freezing
it
screen.
It froze, and I sat there feverishly tapping away at the mouse until he came into view and he said, right, Lavaz, come with me. And no joke.
Called you by your last name.
Lavaz, yeah. Lavaz, come with me. Seriously. I've never felt worse in all my life. I got a detention, like months off the computers. The picture, I'm being honest with you, the picture wasn't even that bad.
Was that really a big punishment back then, a month off the computers?
Well, it was part of my classes and stuff. Like, okay. I couldn't use them. And he made me get up and apologise to the class and do all that sort of stuff. It wasn't even I had nothing to do with it. I just knew where it was. And being a Year 9 student, thought it'd be hilarious to show my mates.
I wonder how long it stayed on the screen before they could actually force the computer off.
It actually makes me sick to think about, to be perfectly honest. But it does have to be said as well that... I did my penance, and my parents were quite disappointed with me back then. But getting into trouble, I mean, there was, you know, you had the old fart bombs. There were those ones that you could do and drop under someone's thing.
You are well ahead of me, Adam.
I am well ahead, but I'm not proud of that though. I actually look back and I didn't lift my game until probably year 10, and then I really started taking my school seriously. And I actually used to pass on to my 5-6s. Not that story as such, but impressions last, and it took a long time for me to beat that impression of a bit of a troublemaker, or he's a bit of a, he talks a lot and does that stuff. It took a long time to beat that impression of who I was.
I'm very proud of you, Adam, that you've used the podcast to exercise your demons.
I still feel sick about it, to be perfectly honest, because really, I'm not that sort of person. And I actually like to say to our listeners that I actually got the Year 12 Principal's Award at the end of Year 12 for my hard work and my achievements and that sort of stuff.
I reckon there's some eye rolling in our listeners.
I'm trying to say that, you know, I made it in the end.
You made it in the end.
But what my story tried to convey was there's weird and wonderful ways of getting yourself into trouble. And I'm sure that you've seen your kids do where, your students do where you look at them and just go, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know, that kind of, you idiot.
And the decisions that they make. Yeah. So I think...
And what's going through their head at the time.
I think what you're saying is, our listeners out there, if you've got a really good one, like exactly what Adam said, where someone has made a really odd decision that it almost makes you laugh, even if it's quite a serious moment of behaviour, please share with us for our next episode. Well, Adam, our first treat tonight, I'm about to play a recording that was sent via... Well, it's come a long way, and this is our first proper international guest. And he's a good friend of mine, David, all the way from Quebec in Canada, teacher just like you and I. And Dave's been a long-time listener. I'll let him explain how him and I know each other, but he has sent us... Well, it's more than one anecdote, Adam.
Yes.
What I might do is just... we might hand over to Dave and let him regale us and introduce it.
Good evening from Canada, Rick and Adam, and everyone listening to Two Regular Teachers. My name is David, and I'm a grade 6 teacher from Quebec, Canada. I've been a friend of Rick's ever since we met at university years and years ago, and I'm a big fan of the podcast. I listen every week, and I wanted to share a kind of top 5 list of my own stories that I thought could be funny, especially since most of them kind of go with your previous anecdotes that you've shared over the past year. So, without further ado, here is my number 5. I remember once you spoke about extreme weather, and it reminded me of a few years back, a giant winter snowstorm blizzard that we had on Valentine's Day. And usually, if the forecast is going to be bad, they cancel school and we don't have to go out. This day, they didn't cancel, and we all knew it was going to be horrible. Throughout the course of the day, we got more than a meter of snow. School wasn't canceled, but some kids started leaving early. Teachers saw their cars being buried. By the time school finished, we could not get out. Some kids had to sleep over at the school. Teachers had to sleep over at the school. Those people who left, teachers who tried to drive home, didn't make it home till past midnight. The city buses were shut down. It was such a disaster. And then school had been canceled. Was canceled for 2 or 3 days afterwards. So it was really like the worst snowstorm that I can remember. But now thinking back, it was kind of exciting.
Well, Adam, I don't think we can match any kind of extreme weather event, certainly down our part of Australia, compared to that snowstorm.
Well, I don't think I've actually experienced any weather where I've had to sleep over at school for the night.
I kind of feel when Dave said that some staff decided to leave and they didn't get home till after midnight. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like those disaster films,
yes,
you know, where someone goes, I'm going to try and make it, and they don't get there.
And they fail, and they're sitting in their car going, I shouldn't have done it. I'm sitting out here, I could at least have a heater at school or something like that.
But I guess my question would be actually, which one thing that Dave didn't mention was where did they get food? Like, did they have to? Because they wouldn't be able to order pizzas in.
No, would Canada have a cafeteria? Would their school probably have a cafeteria? They could have maybe made some stuff.
Yeah, may have had to raid. Yeah, but that is insane. That, I mean, we don't get those extremes down where we are in winter, do we?
We get some wind. You might get a storm and some rain here and there, but no, certainly nothing like that. That's a ripper, Dave, and what a great one to start on. And I can't wait to get into number four.
If that's number five, then I can't wait to hear the next one.
My number four, I remember you also spoke about critters in the classroom, and I remember up here in Canada one day we had a giant polar bear break through our window. No, but I remember on our first day of school, my first day ever of teaching, I wanted my classroom to look so beautiful, and my grandmother had actually cut down this bee's nest that she said was vacant and given it to me as decoration to put in my classroom. So I put it in there the night before, and lo and behold, the morning of my first day of teaching ever, I went into my classroom, and it was filled with hundreds of bees that were not dead, that were just frozen. And the warm night in my classroom brought them all back to life, and they were all flying around my classroom minutes before I had to go pick up my students outside. So with the help of a brave janitor, we put the bee's nest in a Tupperware container and held most of the classroom outside. It was kind of exciting.
That is absolutely unbelievable. I love the fact that it's the grandma has gone out of their way to do something really nice.
Yeah, like a nice thing, yeah.
Totally backfired.
I didn't understand that bees can be frozen and then kind of thaw out. I mean, someone has to. There's got to be someone who's good at science out there who can confirm that. I mean, I'm not challenging Dave's what happened, but that's phenomenal.
I'd be standing there in disbelief first day coming in and going to the classroom, and there's bees everywhere, and it's kind of your fault. Like, it's not like
first day school.
Excuse me, Prin. Yeah. You come down here and fix this for me. And
I must admit, I mean, he did say that they got the hive and put it in a Tupperware container, but he didn't say how they got the rest of the bees out. Kind of thinking, you know, is it like a Ghostbusters thing? Put the trap out, you know, and somehow suck them all into it. I mean, it wouldn't have happened, you know.
That's a brave janitor too that went in there and dealt with that. He's earned his pay that day, that's for sure.
Now, I just say our listeners out there, both our faces when Dave suggested a polar bear smash through the window and then said he was kidding.
I bought it.
Yeah, I bought it as well the first time.
I actually thought he was going to mention a moose. Like a moose had come just stomping through.
Dave, if you're listening, a moose story would be good, I'm sure. Surely a moose has wandered into your schoolyard before. But look, that's number four. We'll come back to Dave later in the episode.
Yes, we will. Yep.
And catch up with what number three is. Well, Adam, Anne DeManser, an AP in Northwest Victoria, who contacted us recently, and we gave her a shout out even more recently. I have mentioned in the previous few episodes that Anne sent us a link to her blog, and this post that she wrote comes from 2013, and I thought this would be a great anecdote, and Anne gave us her blessing. And it's we'll put the link on the blog, and it's about her experiences as a teacher in her third year. Now, this is going back, and the blog post says 30 plus years ago. Anne says that she was a teacher at a primary school. She was the only teacher, Adam. 3 years teaching experience at 24 years of age, and she was the only teacher in a school. Yeah. So it was obviously a rural school.
Gee.
Now, I know
it's
that
a big
my...
gig.
Yeah, look, my wife, she came from a small country area, a dairy farm.
Yes.
And she went to a school like this where the teacher was everybody.
Wow.
And Anne's I'm just going to read straight verbatim from one of Anne's paragraphs here. She says, I was responsible. Now, just remember, 3 years teaching experience. I was responsible for planning, teaching and assessing the entire curriculum for all 15 kids, small grade, but they were spread over 7 grades from prep to year 6. There were no specialist classes, no planning time for me. But mind you, there were no staff meetings to worry about. Well, that's pretty good.
Well, that's pretty good. Very good.
I bought all the supplies, paid all the bills, balanced the books, administered first aid, and supervised every recess and lunchtime. And when one of the mothers didn't come to clean, she cleaned as well. Yeah. She had complete autonomy over everything. She even got to choose the wall paint colour, she says, and do lots of little jobs around the school. Now, phenomenal. Think about, I mean, when I read that paragraph for the first time, I thought, I mean, being the business manager as well, I mean, that's something that's out of sight, out of mind for you and I, isn't it?
Totally. We have almost nothing to do with that. I mean, you might be on a budget committee or something like that, but to not only have to plan a curriculum from prep to year six, but to also balance the books and look after the kids. I mean, she's got yard duty every day. I mean, how often are there days where you don't have a yard duty? We go, you know what? I'm going to have 20 minutes in my classroom. I'm going to do a couple of little things and, you know, tick a few boxes and things. She didn't even have time to do that. That's unreal.
She said that she gave the responsibility of ringing the bell at the end of lunch and recess to one of the students. Very few behaviour problems. I imagine that Anne may have been able to, you know, duck in and maybe grab some food or something and then go back out. But
and as she said, you know, where you said the behavioural problems, bullying was unheard of.
Mm.
You know, and that says a lot, doesn't it? You know, maybe those kids, you couldn't have, she says that you couldn't be afforded to be offside with anyone. You needed to be friends and needed to be nice to everyone. And that would have made it easy though. I mean, but going outside to do that yard duty would have been a pretty easy gig, you know?
Yeah, it would have. Look, she mentions, I want to talk about community again soon at the end. There's a lovely paragraph here about that, but I just want to go jump a little forward ahead in her piece, because she says there was a district inspector who'd come twice a year to check that everything was under control. Only twice a year. He'd check the accounting, and she says that unbelievably I was never sent out. And he would test the children on their spelling, times tables and handwriting.
Wow.
And she had to present all her study, all her courses and all her programs. Now, that's kind of like your PDP.
It kind of is, isn't it? Yeah, that really is. Tough PDP.
Someone just coming in.
I don't have to come into my PDP and be asked to balance the books.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big... But I love the district inspector. I mean, that really feels... That's old school sort of stuff.
That does sound really old, yeah. Now, she talks about... I want to get back to the community. And this is lovely, I think. And she said, despite my youth and inexperience, it was accepted, though, that I was in charge. And I was given the utmost respect from the children and their parents. And that she was an integral part of the community. Mm. And my wife, I read this to her. And she said, yes, it was exactly the same thing for us. Yeah. She said that... Many days, you'd know it was lunchtime from the smell of homemade chips, homemade scones from a lady who lived next door. There'd always be special food brought up from other parents. And she said that if something was broken, like a flat tire, she said that one of the dads would come and fix it for me.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can see that she probably... When I imagine a job like this, I think lonely... But Anne's post shows that she was probably more supported in terms of the community than probably any of us in schools today.
Absolutely. And what a great community feel. I mean, I think these days schools lack a lot of that sort of stuff. You know, what about your working bees? You know, the school where you think about that, where constantly principals are going, we need more people, and people almost now go, someone else will do it.
Yep.
Someone else will do it. I don't have to give up my time to do that sort of stuff.
That's full, as much as she'd love it, that's full teaching days, isn't it?
I mean,
granted she has autonomy, but that is full teaching days.
Quite envious, actually. I mean, there's a part of me that I've always thought what it would be like to teach at a small school. I think there'd be a lot of that expectation and things, but I think the community feel and the support, I mean, clearly... Back then, that community respected the teaching, respected her as a teacher, and respected the role that she plays. And again, that's something today that we don't see enough of.
I reckon that would have been... I mean, I think it's really nice. It's nice in a way that you said you were envious, because I think that would be challenging. But wouldn't that be an amazing experience, being the sole educator in that kind of environment? And you would feel part of the community. And I think it would become more... than a job. And teaching for us is probably more than a job for you and I, but this is a different...
Yes.
This gives that term a different meaning. And look, if you don't mind me reading, Adam, I just want to read the last paragraph, because this really... this is a paragraph, thanks, Anne, because I can see myself maybe even reading this again when things get tough. She said, she still loves teaching. And remember, she only wrote this a few years ago. But teaching is much harder work than it was back then. She says, the simple five columns of accounting have been replaced by thousands of order books and audited receipts in triplicate. The curriculum's become jammed with everything that every organisation in the country thinks children should know. There's rules about rules, and protocols and meetings to discuss the protocols. True. Good manners aren't quite as prolific as they used to be. I think that's probably not just students, I reckon that's adults as well, Adam. Despite 30 years of experience, and she's got her master's as well, parents are less trusting of her ability to know best about the educational needs of their children. Mm-hmm. I think that's telling.
Yeah.
And she says, sometimes it does feel like we're on opposing sides of a tug of war. And then she has at the bottom, and we aren't allowed to climb trees anymore. I love that, Anne.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that it's telling. Anecdotally, I think that she's hit on something that sometimes maybe that extra trust for us in the job is has slightly eroded away over
years. Because she's not wrong. She's not wrong at all. It's kind of, it really resonates with you, some of the, you know, how many times have you been to a meeting where you go, this doesn't need to be a meeting, we're meeting about something we met about last week, you know, and the trust that parents don't seem to put in, and they're, you know, constantly, you know, questioning everything you do and those things. And some days it's hard, but having said that, you know, I think Anne still hits on it that we still love teaching, we still love what we get out of teaching, and we still love making a difference in the classroom. That never goes away.
Yeah, well said. So I really encourage you to go and read Anne's post, and maybe just keep it there. All right, Adam, let's head back over to Canada, and let's get Dave's number three.
My number three is a kind of just a funny story that I had happen on a camping trip with my students. I don't know what it is, but my students are just, I have grade 6, so 11, 12-year-olds. They are so into scary stories and ghost stories. They beg for them. We had gone camping for a week at a local mountain here in Quebec, and they were just begging me for ghost stories every night. And I knew that if I gave them a really scary story, I'd pay the price and they wouldn't sleep. So I thought, well, I'll go easy. I'll tell them a Sasquatch story. I don't know if you guys have Sasquatch in Australia, but it's kind of like the Bigfoot legend. So I thought, well, you know, that won't be too scary and it'll just kind of be more funny. So I started telling them it was, by the way, in the middle of the forest and, you know, no lights, no electricity in our cabin. And I started telling them this story once it was dark outside around a campfire about this big hairy Sasquatch that lived in this forest. And you know, as I was thinking, like, this is not as scary as ghosts, we'll be fine, I could see their eyes growing wider and their mouth slowly dropping open, and like the fear that was coming on their faces, the expression of fear was just like going to a level that I just had no idea they would take it to a point where one of them just at one point let loose and screamed something like, it's like a giant gorilla with human intelligence. And they just ran back to the cabin and made sure that their windows were, like, there weren't any cracks with the curtains, that this beast couldn't be looking at them. They were petrified. Nobody slept. The teachers that I was with were just so happy with me. But it's kind of a funny moment now, looking back.
A giant gorilla.
With human intelligence. I panicked.
Oh, that is a panic, but what a great thing to say. Like, he's scared and he's yelled out, a giant gorilla with human intelligence, and then beeline for the cabin.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The scary story, I mean, I'm surprised that Dave even tried a scary story, because I remember experiencing them when I was at camp myself as a child, and I'm absolutely frightened every time. Yep. If our listeners, we are in a studio, but the rain is pelting down on the ceiling, you may hear that. That's all it is.
Just adding a bit of atmosphere to the actual recording.
Certainly is adding
a bit
of atmosphere.
But I know that on camps and stuff, it's easy for those kids to talk the talk, but when it comes to the crunch and they're away from home, they're not going to walk the walk.
Yeah, I'd love to ask Dave, actually. He might be able to get back to us. Was that child that said, you know, a gorilla with human intelligence and one of the first ones to run back to their cabin, was that one of the original heroes, so to
yes,
speak?
Yes, yeah, he was talking up, give us a ghost story and that stuff. I'd love to hear that. So that's an absolute ripper, Dave, and I can't wait to get stuck into your number two.
Yeah, my last two are the classic embarrassing stories. The first one of the embarrassing category is my first year of teaching, my classroom was at the end of a long hallway. Every single day when I brought my students up and walked down the hallway, they would kick the door stopper that was supposed to stay at the other end of the hall all the way down. And every day I would tell them, don't kick it and bring it back. And on this one particular afternoon, it was our last class of the day. And lo and behold, the little grade ones, like 5, 6-year-olds, had kicked that door stopper all the way down the hall. And they were, you know, quiet at work. And I just glanced out into the hall, picked up the door stopper, this somewhat heavy wooden door stopper. I mean, not too heavy, but about the size of an iPhone. And I said, well, there's absolutely nobody in the hall. I'll just throw it down back to the door rather than walk it all the way down. Well, as soon as the door stopper left my hands, I'm not exaggerating, as soon as I had lost control of it, I saw it flying as in slow motion down the hall, and the principal and the owner of my school, because I work at a private school here, stepped out of the door as she was showing some new prospective parents around the school. And I saw the door stopper as she pointed to the next classroom they were about to go in, and it smacked her right on the hand. And she just looked at me, and I must have like smiled and waved, embarrassing. I don't even know what I did. I'm embarrassed telling the story. So
I mean, anyone could have come through that door, but for the principal, and it hit her on the hand. I love how he said, I kind of just smiled and waved, I think, and just sort of like almost pretended like it didn't happen. Nothing had happened.
I can't even laugh. I honestly feel sick because I could see, you know me.
Yeah.
You could see me doing something like that, and as soon as it leaves, I could see myself doing something like that and hitting my principal in the hand or something like that. Dave, mate, I feel for you, mate. Because you'd think, I'm not going to walk all the way down there. I'm just going to ping it down the end.
Yeah.
And you almost want to pause and just go and grab it out of the air and put it on the ground.
You would know that slow motion feeling. Yeah.
I'd love to know a follow up from you, yes. Dave, about did the prin take you aside? Did he have a chat to you about that? Did you get into trouble?
And if any of our other listeners, have you ever kind of thrown something sort of, you know, like, all lightheartedly, you know, and it's clocked a child or something like that? You know, like, it's, those things have sort of happened, yeah.
I've kicked the footy off the side of the boot and hit a kid in the head.
I accidentally kneed one of my little female students once. Like, I didn't realise she was there. And I got off my chair really quick and went to walk. And she was bending down and kneed her in the bottom of the back. And she had that face. I felt sorry for that face, like she was going, "No, it's okay." But she was really hurt.
Oh man, it's hilarious. But we do have one more. But we're going to use that as our closer almost tonight.
Our closer. And so we need to get to our next special guest, Adam.
We do. So without further ado, let's go there. So Matt, our last contributor tonight is one of our old friends, one of my most favourite bald people going around, apart from myself. Lee Burns, we've had him on the program before, and I'm under the impression that he's got an anecdote for us tonight that's an absolute gem, one that I think teachers will be able to relate to in many ways. Honestly, I haven't heard it yet, and I'm pretty pumped. I can't wait to listen, so...
Yeah, well, the best thing about this, Adam, is that he sent us this recording from his commute home one night, so...
Yes.
Yeah, we are very grateful, so yes, let's hear from Lee.
Good afternoon, boys. Just in the car, driving home, and hands-free... I thought I'd send you a little anecdote that took place a few weeks ago, but I thought you two would really appreciate it, and I'd quite like to hear your musings on it. So anyway, this was after lunchtime in a computer room with my Year 7 students, and we're in the depths of winter, so it's pretty chilly outside, and we're in a classroom, and we were lucky enough to be in a classroom that had heating on the wall. Is it called a split cycle system? I'm not sure. But anyway, the heating was working, was cranking, and the little wall thermometer read 30 degrees, so we were well and truly on a slow bake. They'd just come in after, the class had come in, it was a humanities class, they'd come in after lunch, and they're a little bit ratty, so I was trying to get unsettled and stuff, and one particular young lad, he's a smashing young chap, but he likes to tell tales a little bit, and he thinks he's helping out, and I can see where he's coming from, but... I was a little bit rattled. I was faffing around with some, just trying to get the projector work and whatnot. And anyway, this young guy just keeps telling little tales on people, and wasn't really helping. So I kind of said to him, "Look," I said, "let me do my job. Thanks for this, but you need to get on with what I've asked you to do." So he kind of took it on board a little bit. But then about 5 minutes later, he goes, sir, in a bit of a hushed tone. And I said, "What is it? What can I help you with?" And he goes, "This student," and I'll call him Bobby, and he goes, "Bobby has been saying things about you." And looking back in hindsight, I should have kind of rose above it, but I didn't. I took the bait. So I goes, "What's he saying?" And the young guy goes, "Well, Bobby's saying that you stink of BO. I said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, he's saying you stink of BO. So he repeated it, and by this time the class had heard it. And I was absolutely mortified. And the funny thing is, I hadn't even been near Bobby all for the 10 minutes that we'd been in the room. So anyway, I didn't know how to take it. And it was hot. And the conditions weren't great. However, I was pretty confident that I didn't smell all right. So I take a fair bit of pride in, you know, having, you know, freshly laundered clothes and you know, wearing the right amount of deodorant and stuff, and I hadn't been doing anything too strenuous at lunch. So I approached Bobby, and I goes, "Bobby, what are you saying about me?" And he goes, "Sir, you stink." So right off the bat, he's actually come out, he's, you know, he's confident, he's sticking to his guns. So for whatever reason, he's got it in for me, I think, anyway. So I tried to explain to him, I said, "No, I don't." And he went, "Yeah, you do." So I really didn't know what to do. And I just kind of, I looked around the room, and I felt like saying, if you look around, there's probably a few more likely culprits that you could point the stinky finger at. It's not me. So anyway, I gave in, I admitted defeat, and I just went over, opened a window, turned the heating down, and that was kind of it. So thanks to the young fella who was telling tales, because young Bobby was spreading a few vicious rumours. But fair to say, it was a timely reminder to keep abreast of your personal hygiene and keep that tin of right guard handy in your satchel. So over to you fellas, keen to hear what you two think about that. I'm only just recovering, to be honest. Anyway, take it easy. See you later.
As soon as Lee said, "I took the bait," yeah. I got a tingle on my spine going, "I can't wait to hear this."
So I thought it felt like he had to fight it. He's like, "I'm not going to go down because all the other kids have heard. I'm going to defend myself."
I mean, firstly, but the air conditioner's on 32 or whatever it was degrees.
30 degrees.
30 degrees. I mean, Burnsie, what are you doing?
You're cooking the kids in there or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, that is a cocky kid who's saying that he's... But I have to... And I'm going to show some solidarity with our friend here. Yeah. I mean, we always do... You know, you make sure that you do groom well and deodorant and all that sort of stuff. And that would be mortifying as a word. I mean, he's got nowhere to go. Standing in the middle of a classroom, you'd feel like you've got snipers coming at you from everywhere.
Exactly. But I love the argument, the small argument he had when he went over to Bobby and said, "You were saying I stink." "Well, you do." "No, I don't." "Yes, I do." "Yes, you do." Well, it's just hilarious.
And then
Lee having to go, "Oh, I have to give in here. This is just going to go nowhere. It's just, you know, going to get into me and stuff."
And firstly, that student that set him up and said, "So-and-so's telling tales." I mean, I
can't believe Lee didn't wander over to a quiet corner and just, you know, have a little bit of a sniff and just check it. Because we can go with it here. I don't know about you, but back in my 5-6 teaching days, I would always go outside and join in some of their activities, cricket, tennis, basketball. I just really used to enjoy that. I would actually have a spare little deodorant that I would just have at school in a thing that if I got inside after lunch and I went into my little office off to the side, I would actually really, I'm happy to admit it, I have a little bit of a quick sniff and go, "Nah, I'm smelling it up a bit here. Spray a bit on or something like that." Because I don't want to be wandering around my classroom copying that sort of stuff.
I think that's good thinking. I know that I am always wary of my breath, Adam. Like I think that's because you're working in so close with the kids. And I know that me personally, I don't do well with bad breath. So I've always got mints on my table and always try and sort of have a mint after recess and after lunch. Yep. The things we do. But poor Bernsie, he's and like you said at the end, he's still recovering, and I'm not surprised.
Got absolutely stitched up. And look, Lee, if your hygiene's poor, mate, don't blame the kids. I think you need to go home and have a good look at yourself tonight. And you know,
you're going to hear from him. Yeah, I know.
What do you think I'm saying? I want to hear from him. So, Lee, thank you so much for that anecdote. That was while we were listening off air to that one. I almost had tears in my eyes, just with the exchange with Bobby and stuff was just, the stuff of, I think every teacher would look at that and go, "I've had that discussion in some way, shape or form with a student before." That's not the way it happens. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And you feel like you're going around in circles. It happens to the best of us.
So if you've got any stinky stories like Lee, please share them with us.
So I'm looking forward to this one. It's the final one. We've had four absolute rippers from David so far, and I'm hoping he's going to finish on a high note, mate.
Well, he said the last two were embarrassing, so this is going to be interesting.
So, let's get into it.
The last one was super embarrassing, and it is embarrassing to tell, but I figured if we're this many kilometers away, I could let it slide. This one was at the end of a day of work. I was outside with the students playing around and parents talking to some parents, and I had a parent who was asking me some questions about how her daughter was doing in math and so on, when I didn't notice, but one of the grade 6 students who was particularly good at soccer kicked a ball as hard as he could, not purposely, and hit me right in the spot where a guy would not want to be hit. It hurt so bad, I wanted to like just fall to the ground and cry, scream, whatever. But I had to pretend because that parent made absolutely no, like, not even really a smile, not even like, oh, that must have hurt kind of thing. Just kept talking about her daughter. And I was just like trying to hold back the tears and like the stomach ache that ensued. I was pretending to like still care about what she was saying, but I had absolutely nothing to do with it. So anyways, it was quite embarrassing. I hope you enjoyed my Canadian anecdotes. Great job on the podcast, guys. Congratulations on hitting the milestone, and can't wait to hear more episodes. Cheers.
I reckon every male teacher has a story about getting hit in that spot by a ball or something in the school setting, Adam.
Yeah, just
but not in front of a parent when you're having a conversation.
But what's this parent doing? Obviously, it's a mum. Sees a kid hitting the old Jad's crackers, and
at the very least, not even
she hasn't even flinched.
Oh, did that hurt?
Yeah, it's like I'm just a little bit there. I mean, poor old David's wearing his old, you know, bits and pieces as earrings, and she's going to actually stand there and not even make a move.
I mean, I know you and I have both, I think, shared stories when we talked about yard duty stories about getting hit down there. I mean, I remember, I was at a football club, the Geelong Football Club, and was talking to one of the footballers who was in the team that I support, and got hit by one of the kids who was kicking a ball and tried to remain. No. And I think I said, no, got me on the belt.
Got you on the belt.
I think that's what Dave was trying to do, I think, trying to scramble sort of guy.
And people, obviously, you know, the females don't understand. It hurts. I mean, it really hurts. I actually don't think I've ever been hit there at school. Not in a bad way, but mine was playing under-12s cricket. I think I've told that one before about, you know, I didn't wear a box, thought I didn't need one, and this kid's come panning, and I've gone to try and hoik him over square leg and copped it right there, and it bruised, mate. I'll tell you what, the bat went flying up in the air, couldn't walk right for a week.
But I think in the school setting, particularly, I mean, I think Dave, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Dave said he was in a classroom setting, didn't he?
He did, no, he was at school, they were outside, I think, yeah. No, it wasn't in the, outside, and this kid's just kicked it, and it's a good shot.
Phenomenal, so he was outside. I mean, but anyway, and thank you, Dave, thank you for listening, and very, very special to have someone from that far away, Adam, from that million kilometres away, listening and replying. So thanks for giving up your time, Dave.
Well, mate, with a heavy heart, we have to bring episode 64 to a close. And I must say, I've thoroughly enjoyed an opportunity to spend a whole episode on the anecdotes and hear from, you know, someone from Canada, Lee, who's actually from England originally, and to reflect on Anne's blog post and do those sorts of things has been an absolute joy, mate.
It really has a real international flavour, Adam, and it is with a heavy heart. And look, we encourage our listeners, if you've been sitting listening going, oh, I've got something I want to send, please send it, because we do an anecdote segment every week.
Yeah, we do.
And we're always happy to fit anything in, aren't we, Adam?
Yep.
Anywhere.
Yep.
And also, speaking of that, I mean, this is obviously an extended episode, and so, you know, look, it may take you 2 weeks to listen to it, Adam. So if that's you, that's come right on time for you, because we are going to have just a short midterm break next week, Adam, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We just want to like to break it up a little bit, and we thought this is a really good way to do that, having an anecdote episode finish on a real high note, and just have that almost hump week for us, and then we'll be back in week 7, but I believe you're possibly going to be elsewhere during that week.
Yeah, well, look, I think we'll be back. We'll definitely be back in week 7, Adam, and so our next episode should be published on the 25th of August, but I might be coming to you live, perhaps from Melbourne. I have the Leading a Digital School conference, which we mentioned last week, so you and I will work out a way to publish an episode, and we'll be back for our listeners.
We will. So, from me, Adam Labarz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.